Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how you doing?
I'm good, Josh, and I'm happy to be here for our weekly Etienne Capoue podcast. This week in Capoue.
We got a question from Scott. It wasn't even a question. It was more of a somewhere between a comment and a rant, I think. And after Capoue scored yesterday morning, he said, Q 15 minutes, maybe 20 on Capoue, this time with theme song talk.
First, I want to get this out of the way. I'm still not clear on whether it's Capoue or Capoue, but I do feel like the crowd leans Capoue just because we're all deeply uncomfortable with saying the word poo.
Right. Very, very Victorian about it. Yeah, I think you're right. So, Brandon, I have a question for you. It was a very strange week in the fantasy game. A lot of, a lot of controversial decisions, I think you could say. A lot of goals that should not have been goals that were counted as goals, and assists that would not normally have been credited and were credited. And so let me give you my feeling on this in general, and you can let me know if you agree or disagree.
Okay.
So my feeling is it seems like they've loosened up the restrictions this year. Used to be, if a ball deflected off a – well, actually, they kind of clarified the rules a couple years ago. It used to be if the ball – like 3 or 4 years ago, it was like anything went. You could like basically if you like played in the past, the defender could like dribble for a while, like do a take on, get the ball taken away, and you'd still get credit for the assist. And so they clarified that. And now this year it seems like once again, if you were intending to create an assist, it doesn't matter how much the ball was deflected by a defender, you still get credit for it.
It's like getting a red card. It's all about intent. The violent conduct red card. It's about intent.
Yeah, apparently so, which I guess I'm fine with as long as it's called consistently, which I suppose it was this week fairly consistently.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, the most dramatically, if I may use that word, it was in the Man United Watford game where Ibrahimovic drove down and put a ball in. The ball was deflected up by a defender and fell to Rashford. Very lucky deflection, right? I mean, you see Rashford sort of like take a step back and then he's like, oh, it's at my toe.
It was a Harry Kane-esque goal.
But I feel like, Ibrahimovic did all the work to score that goal. So I don't really, I mean, from a like sort of, elevated standpoint or whatever, I don't really mind that he gets the credit, So yeah. I thought it was controversial. I just hope they keep it up,
We got a tweet from BlueAsh18. He says, what do we do if the official FPL makes a bad decision? Ibra assist. It hurt me big as a non-Ibra owner. Now, my question to Blue Ash is, that may be true, but do you have Romelu Lukaku on your team? Do you have Alexis Sanchez on your team? Because what's good for the goose better be good for the gander. And as a non-Alexis owner, as a non-Lukaku owner, my measly Ibra assist on my Ibra captain, I ate that up like it was the only meal I was getting in my solitary confinement cell.
Yeah, it had to be kind of a frustrating week for you, Brandon, right? You captained Ibrahimovic. Lukaku puts down 12 on Saturday, and you know that's going to be a hard one to match. I mean, Ibrahimovic has had one two-goal game, but in general he's been getting like a goal a game or, picking up around 6-7 points.
Yeah, and he's almost been getting a goal a game despite himself. He scores some weird goals, and that team, particularly the last two game weeks, hasn't exactly looked electric. So you're right. After Lukaku's performance, my hopes for Ibra pulling it out for me were slim to none. But yes, it would have all changed had he actually put that header past Gomez, and it was just not to be.
Yeah. Does it make you – I mean, we're going to talk more about him later, but, yeah, I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing with Ibrahimovic right now. And, we're going to talk a lot about Aguero and people bringing in Aguero and people deciding whether or not to drop Ibrahimovic to do
it. You mean Brock Toon?
Brock Toon, excuse me. Brock Toon. We should go back and just, like – you should have, like, a beep anytime I say anything but Brock Toon. I think his totals are – he had 9 points in game week one, 13 in game week two, 2 in game week three, 6 in game week 4, and then 5 in game week 5. So really, attacking returns in 4 to 5 matches, which is good, but at 11-5, you need you're looking for a little bit more, I think.
Additionally, it's hard to own him because while Ibra is a class goal scorer, he's not very involved in the play throughout the 90 minutes. So you're watching United play, and Ibra isn't getting a lot of touches on the ball unless they're in the penalty box. So,
but if Wayne Rooney wasn't skying every ball into the third row, I mean, even balls like just playing it forward, it's going off into the point in that match where it was like for 30 minutes of the match, the ball was just like – it was just like going in and out of bounds for like 30 minutes because Wayne Rooney was misplaying like every single pass. It's like, I wonder if – once Rooney leaves, I wonder if Aguero will be more involved in the play. You know, linked up with
Ibra. Ibra, you mean. Ibra.
Yeah, excuse me. I've got Brockton on the brain.
It may be. Does Mkhitaryan have to get healthy for that to happen? I'm wondering who they slot in. I mean, maybe Juan Mata has to get a little bit of confidence from Mourinho to fill in that Wayne Rooney role. But yeah, Rooney is a disaster. He's destroying that team.
We could do a whole podcast just on Wayne Rooney. I mean, I like Rooney in general. I like Rooney for all the reasons that coaches like Rooney. I mean, he's sort of a willing to play every position and, you know, he plays through pain and he's more like an American football player. You know, he's got an American state. He's like one of those defenders who, you know, he used to be a cornerback and then he lost his speed and now he's a safety and, he starts to put on some weight. Now he's a linebacker, you know, anywhere he can stick on the team. But anyway, we digress, Brandon. Let's get into the meat of the podcast itself. Well, I should say meat. We have like 13 more introductory sections to go here.
It's a multi-course meal for sure. Meat will come at some point, though, be sure.
I have a few a few statements of purpose that I want to start this podcast off with. All right, Brandon, are you ready for this? The first question is fantasy fun? Because I have to tell you, I didn't have any fun watching the matches this weekend. I don't know if it was a my team thing or what it was exactly, but I think this is the weekend where I think this typically happens for me once a year early on in the season. And it's like right around when I realize I'm not going to finish number one in the world overall. I always sort of harbor the hope that everything's going to click. And I was too angry. And, you know, I was watching the Southampton match yesterday, and I've hung on to Nathan Redman, and he was just missing. I don't know if you saw any of the match. You were watching the Crystal Palace match, but he was missing.
I did have it on my second screen experience, okay. So I did see a few of the Nathan Redman howlers, which are coming to be his trademark.
It was so brutal. And at one point, I sort of like slipped off the couch onto the floor, you know, and sort of a depressive slip. You never do that thing where you sort of slide off.
I don't slide off the couch. When I get to that point, I actually have a blanket on the couch that I put over my head and I wear it like I'm a Jedi or something like that.
So after that match was over, there was still a Spurs match to come, and I said, "That's it. I'm out. I'm done watching soccer for the day." And so I went out with my wife, and we went to the farmer's market. It was like we did all the cliched Brooklyn things, you know. Went to the farmer's market and got our vegetables. And we hung some paintings on the wall, and I went for a bird walk afterwards. And it was like
you're a virtual Jonathan Franzen over there.
I was, yeah. And so I did all that, and I was like, "Yes, this is. I have like." Even things out a little bit, you know, it's really more just a reminder to sports never end. They never ever end. There's just right now, you know, college football is back now and the NFL is back and there's just too baseball is still going on. There's way too much sports in my life right now. And I've got to bring it down a notch.
I did have this thought this weekend when things certainly weren't going my way FPL-wise. I did wonder why the Premier League wasn't a short season like the NFL. Like, maybe then I could stand the overwhelming emotional pressure of the Fantasy Premier League that goes on for 9 months.
But now, clearly, yeah, and you and I are already sick individuals, right? I mean, we have a weekly Fantasy Premier League podcast. We're beyond help, but
throw us in the wooden apple cart with all the other dead FPL bodies because we've succumbed to the illness completely. But to answer the question, is fantasy fun? I can point to one specific example, Josh. Friday night. As the points were all calculated in the overall FPL game, you look to see who was the number one point getter on the day in the entire world. And yes, it was one fun individual who decided to triple captain Jordan Henderson. That, Josh, is making fantasy fun. It does boggle my mind that there are people out there that have it within themselves. They're like, you know what? Screw it. I'll triple captain Jordan Henderson. That seems like fun.
I'm constitutionally incapable of doing something like that. You have to cut off my hands or something. Like there's some, like I would find a way minutes before the deadline to go in there and make a more rational choice. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Not to get too off track, Josh, but could you say off the top of your head what the most irrational captaincy decision was that you ever made? Maybe not irrational, but the most sort of whimsical captaincy decision.
That's a great question. I would have to think about that one a little bit.
That's a good one for our listeners. Maybe if they can tweet at us, what's the most whimsical captaincy you've ever made?
I feel like the regrets I typically have are when I don't captain an Aguero type player and go for like the fourth best captain option. You know, it's not like it's a dramatic. I'm never captaining like Jason Punchin or something, but it's it's captaining. Well, you know, KDB in a week when he gets 1 point, when Aguero gets three goals or something like that.
Or I was advocating last week to captain Benteke against Stoke, and sure, we called it right. It was an annihilation of Stoke, but sadly Benteke was mysteriously absent from all those goals.
That was strange. Well, all right, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it might not be strange when you see who are running the wings on that team. Two of the most one single-minded, selfish players in the entire league, and Townsend and Zaha.
Townsend was due for a game like that. That's his style. You know, so every now and then he's going to explode. I still don't think he's. I don't think we have any Townsend questions even on this podcast. It was just like, if you held on to him for this long, congratulations.
Yeah, right.
His total points tally is now higher than Nathan Redmond, so I've hung on to him for 5 weeks. So, hey, congratulations. Point number two.
Oh, we're still in the intro, right?
We're still in the intro. We're only 40 minutes in or so. Point number two is a pregnancy update, Brandon. I want to note that my wife is due this Sunday. So it's 5 days from now, 6 days from now, which is crazy.
It is so crazy.
There's a pretty good chance that I am going to be out for a while. Not planning. I'm certainly coming back, but I'm certainly planning to take some time off. It'll be at least a couple weeks. You know, we'll just sort of see how things go. So,
okay. In response to this, I have a question for our listeners. So. Hit us up on Facebook, Always Cheating, or Twitter at Hail Cheaters. I want them to tweet at us, which Premier League player would they most like to be the stand-in host for Josh while he is on his Always Cheating paternity leave? Would they like somebody like a controversial figure like Andre Graves coming in here with some wild off-the-wall opinions? Or somebody nice like say... I don't know who's a nice person in the like
Santi Cazorla
or Santi Cazorla. Yeah, maybe we could have Leighton Baines on here. We could just talk about Spotify playlists the entire hour.
So, do you want any kind of call out there, Brandon, for anybody who wants to possibly be a fill-in, guest or interview on the podcast? Anybody? I guess the one requirement is have like a decent microphone, right? I don't think we want any call-in. Any call-in episodes?
Yeah, if you're out there and you have a Skype account and a decent microphone, hit us up. We can have you on the pod, or you can send me a 500-word essay about what makes you a good podcast host.
Yeah, a mission statement. Actually, just send us your CV. Send us your CV with a let's just do a one pager, Brandon. Calibri 12-point double spaced.
Regardless, we're going to be here every week. We're going to have some fun, and we will keep your seat warm for you, Josh, for whenever it is that you come back.
Excellent. And before I do leave, if this is my last podcast for a little while, I want to give a quick shout out to the Transfer Hub website, triggerlips.com. It's a site that has been very good to us, shares our podcast every week, and great content on there. Lots of, I don't know, just the weekly discussions and the questions that are on there. And there's a great forum that you can get access to if you reach out to Nick Cummings, the guy who runs the site. And it's just a very good, smart place to go for fantasy advice. And it doesn't have a lot of the bells and whistles of some of the other sites, which I actually really like because I get a little, I read like everything, but it is kind of nice sometimes to read like a very, like just the sort of one person's sort of clear headed opinion on what kind of decisions to make every game week. So Throw that shout out. And then one other shout out is to Ken Rooney, who's been writing some articles for the Irish Examiner called This Week in Fantasy Premier League. And I was originally going to say, if you're Irish, you should check this out, but because the internet now exists, anybody can read this anywhere. And that's all
I don't have to have a subscription to the Irish Times. I have it delivered to my front door every morning.
Irish Examiner.
Oh, the Irish Examiner. Yeah. Pardon me.
But so it's a weekly column. I think he said, you know, if people are going to, if the traffic's good, hopefully he'll be able to keep doing it. So go check it out. And yeah. It's kind of fun. It made me feel like we were doing something that actually was newsworthy, you know?
Yeah, and we've been in touch with Ken Rooney on Twitter. If you want to follow him, you can find him at Ken Rooney. And that's Rooney spelled like everyone's favorite dirtbag on Manchester United, Wayne Rooney.
I think you mean Wayne Roonpig.
Wayne Roonpig. All right, so Brandon. Josh, how did you do? How did you do game week 5? Let's go through the numbers, the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, I did pretty poorly. I have to say, I had mostly red arrows, except for the $50 cup. I was doing pretty poorly all week. I had 54 points, but I took a 4-point hit. I have to admit, I was a little. I waited as long as possible to make my decisions. Then I kind of scrambled at the end, and I was convinced that I wasn't going to get any points from my defenders, and I felt so confident that Leighton Baines was going to get some attacking points.
I saw this transpire over GChat in the matter of 5 minutes. It was the quickest point burning escalation I've seen in a long time.
I was so mad at myself. Like as I was doing it, I was like, this is a bad decision. I even tweeted it out afterwards. I was like, this is a bad decision. And, you know, 25 minutes in the Everton match, it proved to be a bad decision. But you know what? It's only 4 points. How long can I get rid of it? You know, I would have started Amat, who picked up 2. So I did. It cost me exactly 4 points. And
despite my advice to you to start George Friend for exactly what happened, assist potential.
I know. So, you know, it was just in the end, though, I did captain Lukaku and, you know, I had Bolasie and I brought in Nolito, which was very disappointing. And Jamie Vardy
looked like a good idea for a short while.
Everyone keeps talking about what a terrible season Jamie Vardy has, but I picked up 8 points, 6 points and 6 points from him in the last three game weeks. You know, he's averaging, you know, just shy of 7 points the last 3 weeks. He's done fine for me.
I can think of one striker in particular who he's scoring more than.
Yeah, seriously. So he is. So I, you know, 54. It was okay, and I was down in most of my leagues, and but whatever. I wasn't down that much. You know, I don't even know what the average was this week, but I think I must have been a little right around it. I would think. Do you know what the average?
The average was 48 points.
Okay, so yeah, just over the average.
So speaking of the average, I came in. Well, do you have anything else you want to say about your team?
Just that I am. My wild card is now active. So I'm looking for players. Scanning the waiver wire.
If you're a player and you want to be on Josh's team, send him a note. He'll get back to you. Yeah, 48 is the average, and I came in at a shocking 43 points. And this was the week, Josh, where my hilarious Sam Vokes pick up front became distinctly not hilarious.
Yeah, your art school project, Sam Vokes.
I mean, I knew in my heart of hearts, it was very obvious that an easy swap from Vokes to Iheanacho was the way to go. But I decided to hold on to a free transfer so I could go into this game week 6 with 2 frees to make it easy to get Aguero back without burning any points. But in the process...
It's the free transfer dilemma.
Yeah, exactly. So I will, for this entire season, hold out hope that there will be at least 2 more worldies to come from my man Sam Vokes, but I hate to say I might not own him to gather those points. Anyway,
how many more weeks are you going to give him, like 15, 20, or maybe just like 12 to 14? What's your range?
That festive period rotation, I think, is going to really favor Sam Vokes. So I'd be a fool to not keep him until at the end of December.
Game week 22. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, once again, Kyle Walker took a kind of terrible game week for me and made it somewhat palatable. 8 points. That guy is a machine right now. Captain Ibra, as we mentioned, I get 10 points there. I did have a pretty good start to the game week. I kept Costa. I'm one of the few Costa, not Lukaku people. And somehow Costa contrived to not get a bonus point that seemed to be coming to him at the end of the game. But of course, Dejan Lovren, goal machine that he is, he welched that bonus point off of Diego.
What a Costa. Great – there were three – I liked all three of the goals in that game. The Lovren run where he basically picked it off Sané's or Mane's toe.
Who would have been offside.
Oh, really? Is that right? Yeah.
I believe
and,
so.
Henderson, great goal, obviously. But the Costa goal was kind of fun, too. And it was created by Matic, who was had a pretty terrible game otherwise.
He sure did. He destroyed that Chelsea performance, I think. Last I'll say is another one to put in that group of dodgy Opta decisions. Jason Puncheon was awarded probably what was the least dubious Opta change this game week, is he got a second assist. He was credited for a second assist late in the game. So
I mean, are they still even using Opta? Like, I don't know how Opta would give Ibrahimovic the goal on that Man U
match.
There
are lots of conspiracy theories out there that there were a lot of people, enough people bitching about Lukaku's goal credit the day before that they decided to even things out by getting Ibra the assist. I don't know if I believe that.
I never believe that kind of stuff. That seems like conspiracy theories talk, but it is a strange one for sure. So, you know, whatever. Yeah. You know. Like, yeah, we can't change it. And it's just, this is like how it is, right? Like, there's no, it doesn't change anything. It wouldn't like, there's some players that I haven't been buying because they don't tend to get credited for assists or something. You know, it's, I don't think it really, like, is there any one player that you would find more valuable if they're starting to count pseudo assists more often? I can't think of any
off the top of my head. Yeah. I'm sure there are some. So I had a pretty poor game week. You had a average game week. Let's talk about the managers that had phenomenal game weeks, because the only way to get into the top 10 of the Hail Cheaters Super League is to have a phenomenal game week. And side note, you can still join the Hail Cheaters Super League. Go to our website, alwayscheating.com, click the league tab, or the join code is on every piece of social media that we have out there.
And I was very excited. I was looking at the top 10 a moment ago, and I saw a very old friend is in the top 10. I was pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. Why don't you – you tend not to stutter over words as much as I do, so why don't you go ahead and name the top 10 here, Brandon?
Okay, let's see if I can do this without screwing up. All right, number one, Spleeb Splorb, Gloria Prieto keeps the top spot with a game week score of 57, and she has a beautiful 333 total point score, which I do enjoy. Second place, the Cuddly Koalas, David Fellheim's squad. He's got 61 points on the game week. Third place, Bayer Levin Schwem. That's David Sheffield's very difficult.
I think it's Schulme.
Schulme? Okay. The L looks a little bit like an I on my screen. All right, fourth place, the Kuyate Kid, Wayne Joseph. I do love that name. 78 points. That's a big game week score for Wayne Joseph. Fifth place, team named Chuck Bass. That's Ala Doski's team. Sixth place, Ladzon Torre, Nick Forster. Coming in seventh, it's Cookie Dough Movie.
No, Movich?
Cookie Dough Movich.
Okay. I think you might have to Apple Plus the text on you, Brandon, or buy a better pair of bifocals. I don't know, one of the two.
All right, I've just zoomed in on my screen so I can see it a little clearer. Oh my God, I'm so old and decrepit. All right, yeah. Eater Stedebo with Cookie Dough Movich is in seventh place. Eighth place, Tekker Slovakia, Adam Jacques, that's eighth place. In ninth place, Mitchell Maynard with his team BTSTU. Woo-hoo.
So I'm very excited to see this, Brandon, because Mitch Maynard has been posting some of the great bad photoshops on the Always Cheating Facebook page for a long time. And I do actually bad photoshops. He actually does pretty good photoshops. but I think it's more fun to call him a bad photoshop in general, right? It's like you play down the expectations.
You have to under-promise, over-deliver.
It's still his The Marshall last year with Anthony Marshall and the Martian head. It was beautiful. And perfect. Mitch, the bar is raised. Let's get a bad photoshop this week. I want to see it.
All right, let's not gloss over 10th place. The last mention, Thor's top four value, Thor Vidal. He had a game week score of 58. So there is your top 10 of the Hail Cheaters Super League. Congratulations to all of you.
Yeah, a few new names this week. I was excited to see. Some people are hanging on still. You know, Thor and Gloria and Nick with his unusually sounding Lads on Torre, which still to me sounds like some sort of club. Some sort of
a porno film, perhaps?
Some sort of. Yeah, exactly. Brandon, meltdowns of the week. We have two. First one comes from old longtime listener, Uppercut Panda, says, I need a timeout, guys. Four AC Showstoppers losses in a row. Why always me?
That's a tough one, man. Four in a row. It goes back to our earlier question, is FPL fun? It really stops being fun at that point.
Yeah, it does. I felt a little bit of this last year, actually, in our 50-buck cup. I think I might have lost like eight or nine in a row at one point. And
It was the highest I've ever been. And I've done crystal meth, so not really.
I lost mine this week as well. I lost to Jeremiah Johnson, and I lost pretty handily. I think it was one of those times when I was trying to do the math, and I was like, even if Nathan Redmond goes for like five goals, I think I'm still going to lose this week.
Yeah. Likewise, I took a bad beating at the hands of Jacob Roberts. So, Jacob, if you're listening, congratulations. That's a good win for you.
Owen O'Keefe says, I messed up my team so bad. Made two panic transfers, which I regret, leaving Kane at his own up front, and now he's injured. I can't believe Kane at his own up front. That's a bold move, especially with Lukaku in the form he's in.
Owen O'Keefe must have like the most boss midfield of all time then, if he's just playing Kane up there. But I saw that Kane is looking like he's going to be out for about 2 months now with...
Oh, is it that long?
Ankle ligament damage.
Yeah, that really, that does change the game quite a bit. I mean, it really skews. I mean, if anybody was on the fence about bringing an Aguero now, if Kane's out for that long, it's really going to bring all the money together in just a few forwards. I think it's going to be pretty clustered. You're going to see a lot of Costa Lukaku combinations, like Aguero Costa Lukaku, Ibrahimovic Costa Lukaku. It's really lots of. It's going to be a lot of expensive front lines, I think.
The rich just keep getting richer, don't they, Josh?
Don't they indeed, Brandon?
All right, so we promised it last week, and we're here to update our clean sheet watch. Here we're accumulating data over now not just two, but last three seasons of clean sheets. Now, just to run through what we mean by this, and Josh, then you can speak to our actual data here. Clean sheets, there are 20 possible clean sheets per game week. You've got 10 matches, two teams involved in each, and each team has the potential to get a clean sheet. Therefore, 20 possible clean sheets per game week. We're through 5 weeks. That's 100 clean sheets up for grabs.
Exactly. So it makes it nice and easy to look at these numbers. In 2014, through the first five game weeks, we had 29 clean sheets out of 100, a 29% clean sheet rate. Last year, that went up to 33%. And this year, it's down to 21%. So we've had 21 clean sheets this year. It's down 12 from the year before. And still too early to use the great cliche. It's still a small sample size. But clean sheets are definitely down this year. And the question is whether it's a statistical blip or whether it's going to keep happening. But I do think that if we continue to see this trend, I do wonder if it augurs for really investing in fullbacks as opposed to center backs, because at least you have the opportunity for that George Friend, rando assist, which kind of a weird goal anyway. It's crazy that did you watch that? Explain to me what happened on that George Friend goal.
Stecklenburg got fouled by Alvaro Negredo. It's as simple as that. So George Friend crosses the ball in, and Stecklenburg collects it, and as he's collecting it, Negredo just puts his head into Stecklenburg's hands and knocks the ball clean out of his hands. So, okay. I mean, I'll admit that maybe it's difficult for the ref to see that in some way, but yeah, that was just, it was a fluke, total fluke.
Gotcha. Opta
will tell you it's a fluke because Negredo is not credited with the goal. It's an own goal, and Friend gets the assist. Negredo had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it seemed especially brutal, didn't it? All right, so anyway, that's where we are with clean sheets, and yeah, we'll keep updating every week.
Okay, Josh, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and as you say, we'll get into the meat of this podcast.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Okay, Josh, we're back, and we have a lot of questions online. You can find us at Hail Cheaters on Twitter or Facebook.com/alwayscheating. We have a lot of questions on this pod about your front line. So Aguero's going to be back in game week 6, and some of you guys, some of you crazy people are on your wild card right now.
That's
so
true.
What best to do with getting Aguero back in, or do we get him back in at all? So the template right now, Josh, it looks like Kun, Ibra, Lukaku. It's very expensive.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Is it the template? I mean, it's probably what I'm going to end up with, but I do think that there's a lot of people who are trying to find an alternative because that is just too much money. It feels like, okay, so there's really, I feel like this Aguero section of the podcast, it's the question that everyone's debating this week, and you have to decide whether you're going to go with the Kun, Ibra, Aguero front line, or if you're going to move Ibra into Brocktoon.
Right. Yes.
You know, and so which changes everything, really. I mean, you're letting Ibra go. And the question is whether that's something you want to deal with or not. So let's get into some of these questions. Adam Jacques says, is Josh going all in on his front line? And then if you, I think he's talking to you, Brandon, were on a wild card, would you be trying to get De Bruyne in? And the
he's not talking to me because I already foolishly played my wild card.
Yeah, you gotta be like, you gotta feel a little burned right now. Are you okay with it?
And preparing for the podcast is sort of like preparing for a presidential debate. I knew this question would come up, and I stand by the fact that I didn't make a mistake playing my wild card when I did. I have just been burned by building my midfield around Hazard and Ozil. That is the mistake
so far.
That I made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So far. Yeah. I do think the Vokes thing, I think I am rightly giving you some grief for, but I think other than that, I actually liked your team when I saw it. You know, I mean, and really it's worked out. I mean, Punchin and Walker have both worked out great. So, you know, it could be worse.
Yeah. I mean, I did have Walker before I triggered the wild card. So,
yeah. Yeah, but you kept him. You avoided the temptation.
That's true. Punchin was worth triggering that wild card alone.
Sometimes it's hard when you play a wild card not to just change everybody on your team. You know, it's like you just, it's like maybe I can get a 1% better player in every single position.
There's a scene in Seinfeld where Elaine's dating a med student and he's unable to pass the final exam to become a doctor, and Elaine helps him pass the exam. And finally, when he passes, he dumps Elaine because he says, Elaine, the whole promise of becoming a doctor is getting able to dump whoever you're dating and upgrade, find somebody better.
Right. Bob Odenkirk, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So to answer his question, Adam's question, I am going all in on my front line. That's really the plan right now. I got Lukaku cheap, and I feel great about getting him cheap because I think he could be getting close to 10, I would think, by the time the first week of October rolls around him. If he's bringing in, what was it, 17 points in game week 4, 12 points in game week 5, and they have like – they have all ones on the horizon as I start to get used to the rating list. I have to say, at first I thought that was a little – I didn't know if I liked it that much because it's so big and blocky. But I really – it's a useful like quick reference. I don't think it should be taken too seriously, but it's a quick guide. You know, it's sort
has
of
it,
like
– Has okay, it adapted? Blue, red. Has it adapted at all as the season has gone? Like has Stoke progressively transformed from a gray to a bright green or a dark green? Because yeah, I don't think it has, and if it were to change color in real time based on team's form, then it would truly be useful.
That's true. If anybody knows if they're planning to do that, please let us know. I'd love to know the answer to that question. I'm planning to go with the big front line right now. I still have a lot of faith in Ibrahimovic, and we're going to talk more about Ibrahimovic in a minute. De Bruyne, I am not feeling as good about, and you know, there's in Poch we trust. Asked if De Bruyne was this year's Ozil, and to me, I just think that when Aguero's back, he's going to be taking a lot of De Bruyne's points. I mean, I know that Aguero's not in free kicks, but doesn't it seem to you like De Bruyne is a little more aggressive? Maybe he's being asked to be more aggressive, but it does seem like he's being a little more aggressive with Aguero out, that he was taking on more of the attack and responsibility. And I don't know that he'll still have that when Aguero's back.
I do agree. He's definitely flattered the last two game weeks where he's had a goal and an assist in each. And it's no coincidence that Aguero is not playing in both of those. But still, he's got four assists in a row. And on the form he's in, if he keeps it up and if he starts linking directly with Aguero, then that is a most valuable player caliber.
It's true, but for 2.1 million cheaper, I think is the going rate right now. You could get Raheem Sterling, who is really having a breakout season. He looks fantastic, and I can't even tell you how annoyed I was that I decided to bring in Nolito instead of Raheem Sterling. I just thought, you know, Sterling played in the Champions League in midweek. Nolito was rested. I figured Nolito was going to be on for the whole match, which I suppose he would have been if he hadn't picked up at a ludicrous red card. At the end, so if I was on the fence at all about wildcarding, I was certainly going to be wildcarding once I actually activated my wildcard almost as soon as the 3 o'clock matches started, because I decided I was going to do this wildcard right this time and take advantage of every price rise I possibly could.
Right.
So I've been bringing in players who I'm not even planning to have in my team by the end of the week, just so that I can bank that, you know, that 10th here and there.
Yeah.
So, at 10 point, I think, you know, De Bruyne is at what, 10-4 now, maybe. At that price, I just don't think that. Not if you're going to have an expensive front line. I can't have Aguero, Ibra, and Lukaku and have a bunch of 10 million players in my midfield. It's just not going to work. Even if more Etienne Capoues come out of the woodwork, I still don't know if I can manage it. By the way, I am now a proud Etienne Capoues owner. One of the first players I brought in my wild card was Capoues. I mean, come on.
It's almost like getting your student ID at school FPL. Like, have you got your Capoues yet? You're going to need it to get into the cafeteria.
If I was at all on the fence about it, like in the 75th minute of the Man U Watford match, free kick, everybody clears out. It is only Capoues taking this free kick, standing alone over the ball. I mean, if he's taking free kicks at the edge of the box now, he is clearly, at the very least, playing a lot more further forward than he was before.
Was he standing over the ball, but like Dragon Ball Z-esque bolts of lightning were shooting out of his body as he was standing over it.
Yeah.
So Aiden at Royal Swords and also Martin Ewer on Twitter also asked the question of the Kun Ibra Lukaku front line. Now, I have Diego Costa up front, so I'm sitting on Sam Vokes, the hilarious jokester that is Sam Vokes, Ibra and Costa. So I have a real dilemma on my hands here. I'm definitely bringing Aguero in, but I guess the ultimate question is, do I stick with Costa or not? Because the fixtures coming up for Chelsea are a little dicey. However, Costa's in form. Do you have any feelings one way or the other about Diego Costa?
Well, I think he's a lot more engaged. The issue this season is that there are so many points. The points are so spread this season that it's what actually makes it more fun than last year. I mean, it's actually impossible to have all of the goal scoring forwards because, I mean, someone like Troy Deeney is so intriguing. You know, Luke Thunberg on Twitter has been going on about Deeney this weekend. It makes a pretty convincing argument that, you know, the fixtures are good. Deeney's cheap. You can move someone like Ibra into Deeney, and that gives you $4 million that you can play around with in your midfield. It's a compelling argument. So I don't know, but someone like Costa, I think, is interesting, but I don't rate him more highly than Lukaku, who I sort of think of as his closest comparison. And I don't rate him as highly as Ibrahimovic. And I certainly don't rate him as highly as Brock Toon. So he's sort of on the outside looking in for me. I mean, I guess if I could have four forwards, I would think about it, but
I felt a little better watching that Liverpool game because Costa looked very dialed in. He didn't look as emotional And maybe that's to his detriment. Maybe that's why he only ends up with 6 points instead of 12 points.
He's also on 3 yellow cards already. So he's going to miss a game at some point in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, probably, if he's on, yeah. if he stays in his current pace.
He likely will, but I do think it suddenly now with Arsenal and Chelsea, you're thinking about these teams as differentials because everyone's dropping Costa and Hazard, even though it looks like people are bringing Costa in instead of dropping him because of his form.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you had some money in your bank, I mean, it gets so technical, you know, but if you had some money in your bank, then you could move Ibra into Costa, and that would free up like 1.6 million, and then I guess you could wait. No, that doesn't really work, does it? I don't know. It's basically there's like a million different ways to bring Aguero in. For me, I'm planning to go with the very heavy front line. I mean, over 30 million invested in the front line. It's more than I would typically want to do by far. But I just think it's, you know, I think that all three of those players have been really consistent. I mean, even if Ibrahimovic has been sort of disappointing, it just feels like, you know, as someone said, AMHA 9 United says, do you agree with everyone transferring Ibra out, or do you think it's a knee-jerk move? Man U versus Stoke in game week 7. And that Stoke fixture is very tempting. And sometimes I think there's a mistake that you can make in holding on to somebody for one particular fixture, like sort of like waiting through a bad stretch. I kind of did that with Jamie Vardy, where I was sort of holding out hope because of this Burnley fixture. And it turned out that Slimani was going to like vulture all of it. I shouldn't say vulture, but because he looked awesome. But Slimani ended up getting the points that Vardy may have had otherwise, you know? And so, it's an interesting question whether Slimani sort of ruins Vardy's value as a forward. I mean, he's, you know, 1.5 million more. I know we're going to talk about Slimani later, but it's interesting.
I think El Magico puts it perfectly. He tweeted at us, do you ditch Zlatan or does Zlatan ditch you?
So, okay, I know what my forward line is going to be. How are you bringing Aguero in? What's your current plan right now?
My current plan comes down to one of two decisions. Either I drop Hazard and turn Costa into Aguero, so then I've got Aguero, Ibra, and then I have to decide whether or not to play Vokes. Or the plan would be to burn 4 points and do 3 transfers.
Okay, that is like head spinningly complicated, but I think I do understand what you're saying. Yeah, so it's a tricky one, but you're bringing Aguero back for sure. Would you consider any of the Traidinis, any of the Benteke's, Wilfred Boney perhaps? I mean, Stoke, as terrible as they've looked, has some pretty good fixtures coming up.
They do, even though Boney has looked as dreadful as he's ever looked. And I know that the team he's surrounded by is awful, but any touch that Boney had in the match this weekend was nothing to recommend him on.
But I can't believe Hughes didn't get fired at the end of that Crystal Palace match.
Well, I mean,
right? I mean, 2 terrible matches in a row.
I guess, I mean, have any players come out to say Hughes is an idiot and we refuse to play for him? They don't have a lot of sharp guys on that team. I don't want to give them enough credit that they're actually playing against Hughes.
I mean, let's face it. The Stoke team is fascinating, mostly because it's like the island of misfit toys, right? It's all of these fantastic, super talented players who have washed out of every big team. You know, you got someone like Shaqiri played at Bayern Munich, someone like Bojan, who came through the Barcelona youth system, or Real Madrid, one of the two. I think that's right. Correct me if I'm wrong. You have someone like Arnautovic, who's sort of always dreamed of being something more than he is. You know, Boney washed out of Manchester City.
He's dreamed of being something more than he is.
This is like Arnautovic is like he scored like 2 goals in a row last year for Stoke, and suddenly he's like floating like he would never sign a contract extension. He's waiting to move to a bigger club. It was just like totally high-handed move from Arnautovic. So I just think that these are players that need to be seriously motivated in order to be at their best, right? They're at Stoke because they couldn't make it work at a bigger club. And I don't mean to disparage Stoke when I say this. I actually think it's a very interesting strategy to try to bring all these guys in. I mean, why not, right? It's a unique strategy. It's like Newcastle with all the like young French talent, you know, like sometimes it works. But I think that if they dropped Hughes, that team could look a lot better. I mean, just somebody, right? Anybody, just like a player's coach or so. I don't know what they need exactly, but I don't think Hughes is long for that team.
All right, that's enough for Stoke Corner. So back to the front line.
Sorry, that was a
rant. I don't want us to get, well, I'm not going to get locked into the template, Ibra, Lukaku, Aguero, obviously, because I can't get locked into it. But also, it's just what everyone is saying. The points are completely spread around so far this season. This, your front line is the perfect opportunity to take a punt on somebody like Deeney or Benteke or somebody else of that ilk, Slimani, and still reap as many points as your neighbor who has that templated front line, if we can call it that. Yeah. Much.
I watched some of that Leicester match. I thought Slimani looked fantastic. I think he's really a player to watch for. I mean,
Harry
8.5
million. Like Harry Kane-esque.
Yeah, he looked fantastic. Okay, so we got a couple more questions about Ibra. I think we kind of answered them a little bit, but Joe at Just Float, who I've got included in here because she was very nice to us on Twitter last week, and I have soft spot for anybody.
Nice people.
Anybody who says anything friendly to me, I'm really a friend for life. So she said, what do you think? Started with Aguero, Ibra, but debating dropping Ibra to bring Aguero back in. She should have written Brock Toon, actually. The fact that she didn't write Brock Toon means I should have dropped the question. Foolish.
Oh, Joe, says, watch. Yeah, you're on thin ice there, Joe.
Having both equals weak midfield. And this is really the issue that people have. But I think that a weak midfield is not a problem this year because there's so much value to be found in the 5 million to 7.5 million range. Just so many interesting options. I guess I actually think Lamella long term is still a good option. It's just been a weird couple of weeks. He came back from the internationals and I don't really know why he didn't start this match. I thought it was a little strange, but I guess it's to just want to keep the squad fresh.
His makeup wasn't ready.
But Antonio looks fantastic. Sandy Cazorla, apparently he's back in penalties now per Arsene Wenger's press conference. So lots of interesting options.
All right. Lana. Gun to your head, Josh. Jim Payne asks, if it comes down to Ibra or Aguero, hypothetically, which decision do you make?
Easy decision. Aguero all day long because he's fixture proof. He can score in any match.
I'm not even going to answer that question, Jim. Go ahead and pull that trigger, Jim. I wouldn't even dignify it with a response.
Kevin Mann says, another Aguero question. That should actually be a question mark. It's an exclamation point. Is he worth an 8-point hit? I have Ibrahimovic, Costa, and Lukaku. Who to drop? Sad that I fear Brock Toon. No, that he's not worth an 8-point hit. I know that away to Swansea is a great match, but I – Not if you're dropping those three players. I don't know. I mean, Ibrahimovic is at home to Leicester, which is a perfectly decent fixture. Lukaku is a great fixture away to Bournemouth. You could absolutely get away with captaining Lukaku this game week. Absolutely. And and Costa, Costa's looked good. He scored in almost every match.
I don't understand how you get yourself into a situation where you have to take an 8-point hit to get Aguero in.
Not if you have those three players already, right?
Oh, it could conceivably be a wash, but there is the overwhelming threat of an Aguero 5-goal game.
It's always incoming, but that kind of thinking is why you left. Why you started Sam Vokes this week, because you knew you had to bring in Aguero this game week. Aguero makes this game insane. Like it's everything revolves around him, and we all do like feats of foolishness because we have to have Aguero. I do not think that an 8-point hit is worthwhile to bring in Aguero. Not when you can do it the following week for a free transfer. I don't know. I don't really understand how that team would work that you need an 8-point hit with those players. But
the definition of foolishness is starting Sam Vokes when you have Etienne Capoue on your bench. That is the definition right there. All right, we've spent.
Did you think about that, by the way? Just as I was curious, did you think about starting Capoue?
No, I didn't think about starting him. I did not at all.
I mean, you had the double Man U defensive coverage, too.
I did. You don't want to wish a goal against your own defense. And also, like everybody else, there were lots of question marks about how far Capoue goes. But I feel like at this point now, we all did this with Kane 2 seasons ago. There was a certain amount of this with Vardy or Mahrez last season if you were too slow to get on board. And I'm not saying that Capoue is Kane, Mahrez, Vardy. I'm not saying that, but there is always the breaking point at which everyone gets him in and loses that fear of starting him.
He has 4 goals and 5 goal attempts. If you score on 25% of your goal attempts, you're a world-class player. If you score on 80%, it's just you're very lucky. So but he's also playing farther forward. Clearly, he's on free kicks, apparently, at least sometimes. And he's so cheap that like you said, you have to bring him in. I mean, it's just, you know, it's essential.
Okay, so we've spent a lot of time talking about strikers, people up front, Josh. Since a lot of people are triggering their wild card this week to get Aguero back in, we thought we would really quickly go through a spine of a quintessential FPL team. Mohamed El-Kiassi on Twitter asked, "That is it. Wild card activated. Can't wait for the optimizer and must owns." The optimizer, that's one for long-time fans of Always Cheating. What would be your team main bone? 1 GK, 1 defender, 1 mid. And 1 striker.
I like main bone.
Main bone. he probably could. Character count probably didn't allow him to put backbone in there.
Okay,
I'm gonna assume. Or I just learned a new phrase.
Well, main bone with the space between is actually longer than backbone. So it is. Anyway, all right. Let's go spine up. All right. So goalkeeper, I wrote no one essential. I don't think there's any one goalkeeper you have to have. If I had to have one, money wasn't an option, I would have De Gea.
Yeah, I mean, De Gea is the safe bet, but heck, man, Jordan Pickford, is he up to 4.1 now? But that guy was a beast against Spurs, and if you're looking to save money, put Pickford in, and he'll be a Fabianski-esque GK and just help you out with save points.
I totally agree. And they have a couple of home fixtures coming up, too, where it's at least conceivable they could keep a clean sheet. I like Pickford a lot, too. I'm definitely looking at him for my fantasy team. All right, defender. I wrote Man U defender. You know, I almost wrote no one essential for this one as well. I'm starting to worry a little bit about Man U. There's some, I don't know, a little bit of rotation happening possibly. I just don't know. You know, they've lost 3 matches in a row, and I don't know if it's anything that we have to be worried about or if it's just a blip on the radar screen and they're going to go back to being the team they were before. But, I mean, they haven't looked so hot the last couple of games.
They really haven't, and I don't think the defense has done any favors by the attack being so complacent. So I think that they're having to receive a lot more attacks. The defense, Man U defense, is having to receive a lot more than they should typically. So if they can shore up that attack, then I think the defense will profit. So too early to tell there.
Yeah. For me, go ahead. Sorry.
For me, it's Tottenham defense, and that's biased because they benefited so much from Kyle Walker. But the clean sheets do speak for themselves. They've conceded the fewest goals in the league. I think 2 so far this season. And you know, if they can all keep from getting hamstrings in the 80th minute in future games, I think their defense looks like a must have.
That's interesting. And is Hugo Lloris? Am I right in thinking that he's actually priced at 5 million?
I doubt that is the case.
Let me just pop on the old stats page here, Brandon, if you'll indulge me for a moment. No, he's 5.4. That's too bad. If you were 5 million, I think you'd be very – a Lloris Pickford combination would be great. But at 5.4, it's a bit too rich for my blood.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say about Lloris is he's always inessential because Spurs classically have such great attacking defenders.
Yeah,
now, Alderweireld is really expensive, but if you're looking at Danny Rose, when he gets healthy again, or Kyle Walker, I think they offer the chance to get a lot more points because of the attack.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it goes back to what we said at the start, but I think Vertonghen at 5.5 is a pretty good buy as well. I mean, he's the cheapest way into that team right now with Walker up to 5.8, and he's picked up bonus points on a couple different occasions already this season. So, you know, and he can score a little bit. I mean, he's been known to. God, has he been in the league for 5 years now? I'm shocked. His numbers go back to 2012, 2013.
All the way back. You pull up his yearbook photo.
Yeah, he had 5 goals and 3 assists in his first season. That's wild.
That is some wild stuff. All right, midfield, Josh. who is essential in your main bone for the midfield?
Yeah. So I struggled with this one a little bit. I think that Kapuei, I guess, is the one who who stands, I can't believe I'm saying this. I mean, given all we've said in earlier podcasts, but I'm finally sold. You know, I still don't think you need to start him every game week, but I mean, you never find 4.5 million or whatever he's up to now, 4.8 million midfielders who offer the kind of goal threat that he, like, when they do, they become legendary players. There's a reason we still talk about George Boyd all the time, you know, because if there's a super cheap player who can deliver, it is such a rare gem.
You it's know? Infuriating though, because it presents you immediately with the benching headache every week. We've seen a few really teams online since the game week ended, and people are doing their wild card, and it's just midfield bench headaches forever with Kapuwe.
If I were talking just in the short term, I guess I might add a West Ham midfielder to that too. Lanzini took the penalty, which I was a little surprised by. But he is playing again. He's a pretty cheap way into that team if you don't have a lot of money to spread around. Antonio is still very cheap though too. So
yeah.
And Payet looks so good. Like he came back like last season's form. Like he suddenly has it back again. It's just hard to work him in your team given his price.
Yeah, and you do hope that that team doesn't become utterly demoralized by the shape of their defense and what's going on with their manager right now. But
yeah,
so that would give me slight pause, even though you cannot argue with Antonio's numbers. That guy is just like hulking out on FPL right now.
Totally on fire. Yeah.
For me, I'm kind of dodging the question and saying Manchester City coverage is for your main bone. But take Raheem Sterling, for instance. And the Pep's reputed rotation. Now, even if Sterling misses a game week here and a game week there, he's still going to come back and give you a 13-point game week. And if you average that out, his form is still going to be somewhere around 6 or 7, maybe throughout the season. And you could still carry a guy like Raheem Sterling, even if you only get a substitution out of him every once in a while.
His managers are certainly being managed completely differently than they were last year. I mean, he's you know, started every match this season. He's played the full 90 in 4 to 5 matches. So, I think I guess we'll just have to see with Sterling. I mean, we know that Pep's going to rotate a little bit, but I'm definitely leaning. I'm certainly looking at him for my midfield right now. I mean, we didn't even mention, we're actually going to get to them in a minute, but you know, Liverpool has a lot of sort of like a fun option at every price. You know, no matter what you're looking for, they've got an option for you.
It's like going to a car lot. Like, oh, what are you looking to spend? We can have you driving out of this lot in something today. Just let me know how much you're willing to spend.
I mean, the player that I'm most intrigued by in that midfield is actually Sadio Mane, who is the fourth highest.
I'm shocked to hear this. Sadio Mane, where does this come from? Out of left field.
I know. I mean, I feel like the goals haven't quite come yet, but he looks like the most lethal part of that team. So Sadio Mane, 9 million, the most expensive player in that team, though. But you have, you know, James Milner at 6.5 million. Looks like he's really involved in the game. I guess he's going to stay at left back for now.
And can take the occasional penalty.
Yeah, I wish Wijnaldum was cheaper, but at 7.8, I think he's priced himself out a little bit.
Josh, you're getting way ahead of us in the running order.
I am. It's a midfield question. Okay. Forwards.
Strikers. Okay, yeah. Well, I think we agree on this one.
Sam Vokes.
Yes, exactly. The Vokester himself. The jokester Vokester. It's Brock Toon, obviously.
It's obviously Brock Toon. Yes, we want to put him in a jar and captain him every game week.
as we were speaking about strikers just now, Josh, I got a push notification that Ibra is 90% due for a price fall already. So people are dropping this guy like a bad habit.
That to me is very surprising. I mean, I guess we've already talked about it a bit, but I mean, do you like if you had to flip flip a coin? What's the word? If you were a betting man, would you bet that you still had Ibra at the end of your transfers this week, at the end of your week of transfers?
I'm 60-40 right now. If you're talking about odds, I'm 60-40 in favor of keeping him. It's like the question everyone's struggling with is the there are some really appealing, interesting. Hey, fun to use our buzzword of the episode, options, if I do drop Ibra. But here's what I would say about it. I would not be concerned. If you're concerned about Ibra's price dropping, he is like a two-game goal-scoring streak away from that price even exceeding what he was going into this game week.
All right. If you had to guess what his ownership was right now, Brandon, what would you guess?
Well, like, I don't have it in front of me. Ibra, I would say like 54%.
61.4%. I cannot. I mean, maybe Mahrez last year got that high. I mean, you never see 61% ownership. That is shockingly high. I suppose it's because he did so well at the first part of the season. So even players who eventually become like dead teams, you know, where when people were still making transfers, they bring him in. You know, later on in the season, it's like, you know, like it's impossible for any players to move in value because there's like 80 of us still playing the game. You know,
yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Enough jokes, Brandon. Can we get serious here?
Yeah. All right. So game week 5, it was entertaining. It was disappointing. It was interesting. It was everything to us. But we thought we'd pick out some of the standout players from game week 5 that are sort of now immediately on our radar. So you're a big fan of this number one on our list here. Why don't you talk about him?
Yeah, Slimani was a player that I talked about a little bit in the loans and transfer podcast we had a couple of weeks ago. He's just a player who's, you know, scored at every level. He has a lot of Champions League experience, a lot of big game experience. Just fantastic player. Scored 2 goals. He looks like he's got the body for the Premier League. He looks like the kind of player.
A real man's body.
A man's body, if you will. Picked up 13 points and looks like he could do that again. I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, he looked good.
He looked good.
Yeah, he looked effective, and he looks like when he has a chance to shoot, he does it, and that is like a classic Leicester play right there, right? Like a lethal striker.
Yeah. Also, this is a guy who, it's his first start in the league. He's replacing Okazaki, who is the king of the 60th minute substitution, and Slimani plays 90 minutes. So this guy looks like he's in for the long haul. If he starts, you'll have plenty of opportunities for him to score throughout the
match. It's kind of sad, Okazaki in game week 4, where they gave him a start, I think to be friendly to him, like, hey, we'll give you one more. And he must have skied like 30 balls over the bar. Like, he was trying so hard to score like a wonder goal, like a hey guys, like, don't forget about me kind of goal. But sorry, Okazaki.
You know, Joe is at home in his lazy boy. He's just thinking about how far have I fallen. All right, next Brandon. Up, of course, it's Nacer Chadli. I mean, monster game week for West Brom. 2 goals, 2 assists, totally bossing it against West Ham. Could you believe this performance?
No, I just came picked up 3. Yeah, 21 points total. Dave Baker said, is anyone not triple captaining Chadli this week? I doubt it.
I mean, clearly, it's the consensus pick. So who does West Brom play coming up here?
This is the only problem. It's something I actually have kept an eye on a little bit because I was briefly debating bringing in having Foster and a West Brom defender for my West Brom, like just doubling up on West Brom's defense. But the next 2 fixtures are pretty decent. They're away to Stoke and Sunderland. And then it gets pretty awful for 4 weeks in a row. They play Spurs, Liverpool, Man City, and Leicester. And 2 of those 4 are away, and there's no chance of keeping a clean sheet against Man City in that home match in game week 10. So I don't know. I mean, Chadli is intriguing, but do you really see a lot of goals from Chadli in that Spurs match, the Liverpool match, the Man City match, or the Leicester match? I don't know that I do.
I think it's a blip because that West Ham defense, I mean, let in 4 goals against Watford and now against West Brom. I need to see more. The one thing I will recommend about Chadli is go look at his player profile on the FPL site. His picture is like a glamour shot of him in a rugged T-shirt standing against a brick wall with the West Brom crest behind him. It is truly beautiful. I want a signed copy of that image from Nathan.
Yeah, you're right. Chadli. It's like the only, like, that's crazy. That's a crazy photo. I don't want to say it's a blip. Like, I don't think that Chadli is a good player, that I don't think he's going to be able to replicate this. But that 6.4 price point is kind of a weird price point in some ways. I think it's kind of a... It's kind of in between, you know. Yeah. He's more expensive than a Snodgrass, Kapoue, and
right.
He's maybe not quite as much of a consistent value as Antonio or Lallana are going to be. And so, I guess if you were, you know, if you needed the money, you know, if you were, you know, I don't know, like if you wanted to upgrade from, I don't even know. I mean, I guess maybe if you wanted to downgrade Hazard and you needed X number of dollars to change Costa into Aguero, then I think that Chaley is an option. I just think that if you're a form versus fixtures kind of player, if you're a fixtures versus form kind of player, which I still kind of am, despite recent evidence, I still think that fixtures in some ways really dictate the kind of points that a player is going to get. I don't like the fixtures very much for Chaley. So that gives me some pause.
All right. One that we can debate about here, Alexis Sanchez. He had a mystery goal credited to him in the game week, ends up with two goals, one penalty miss. So this penalty miss was a gift to anyone who doesn't own Sanchez or Cazorla. A, Cazorla doesn't take the pen. B, Alexis misses. And despite scoring two goals, he gets zero bonus points.
I wonder if that's ever happened before.
It is really remarkable. But 10 points still, a lot of people captained Alexis this game week. You have to be feeling good if you're an Alexis owner right now.
Do you? Oh, I'd be so ticked. That penalty miss must have been so brutal, especially because it felt like a karmic punishment for him, right? Sandy Cazorla, like one of the nicest guys in the league, scores a game-winning penalty in extra time just last week, right? Clearly, this guy should be on penalties. Like, he literally just won a game for you with his penalty. Sanchez snatches it away, misses the penalty, and it just felt like Conor McGuire. Although they end up winning 4-1, he scored again anyway. So, you know,
you were talking about how it speaks to how craven Arsene Wenger is with his players, that he would allow something like that to happen on the pitch. I mean, the players will do what they do, but you don't expect there will be any repercussions for Alexis.
Yeah, if Alex Ferguson were Arsenal's manager and Alexis took that penalty, Alexis like wouldn't play the next game week, right? Like, there's no, you know, there's just no. They would not be acceptable to just steal the ball away from the designated penalty taker. I like Sanchez. I just think he's too expensive. At 11 million, he can't fit into my team. There's no way.
There was something so remarkably pathetic about Arsenal and that 4-1 win as well. I mean, this is another one of my dilemmas. Ozil in my midfield, he's sucking up a lot of cash, and he hasn't done anything since that Watford game. Missed a great open goal this game week, and the Arsenal squad, it's hard to pin down at the moment, and if Alexis is that expensive, stay away.
Yep, I agree. Andros Townsend, I'm not intrigued. We talked about him a little bit earlier. I've just never been a fan, and he just runs hot and cold. But it's not like he's not even streaky, I wouldn't say. It's just that he comes up with a huge game week every 8 game weeks or whatever. I mean, when you're shooting at the goal basically every time you get the ball, you're inevitably going to have a couple games where the ball goes in, right?
Yeah. Puncheon was instrumental in every movement that Crystal Palace had. I mean, I mentioned this earlier, but Puncheon is kind of diminished by the fact that he's flanked by Zaha and Townsend. But I do see more and more assists coming from Puncheon, and he's not afraid to shoot. He'll get the ball at the top of the box. So
you got a little unlucky with Puncheon. I mean, you got a big point total for him, but it was a late yellow card, and then you lost the clean sheet bonus too. And it was like just these dumb.
Yeah. You know, the clean sheet bonus was a wash because when Crystal Palace lost the clean sheet, all the bonus points that were going to go to the defense flipped, and Puncheon got a bonus point. So
that is true.
He would have gotten 1 point either way, if you follow.
I do follow you. And it reminds me of one thing I wanted to bring up on this podcast, which is Martin Kelly has started the last two game weeks for Crystal Palace. And it looks like he's the replacement for Papa Suare. And Suare is out, you know, for like 6 months.
Hashtag get well, Papa.
Get well. And Martin Kelly is 4.4 million. And Crystal Palace have a decent run of fixtures coming up. So I think that if you're playing a wild card this week, I'll straight up admit I have Martin Kelly in my team right now. And he picked up an assist in his first game week, almost picked up an assist and the clean sheet. Mm-hmm. So, I think that – and the next fixture is away to Sunderland, which is, you know, pretty good fixture. So, definitely one to watch.
All right, who else impressed in game week 5? Yes, the entire Manchester City midfield, which we've talked about, already at length, but we actually have a message from Facebook. Frode Helleran says, great podcast. Do you think Aguero will steal some of KDB's points, or will both be essential? That's a good question, something we talked about a little earlier, and I think we both agree that KDB could be a little more peripheral when Aguero comes back.
Yeah, and I think you made the argument for Sterling early on in the podcast. I agree with you. I mean, he's almost $2 million cheaper. If you're going to go with that expensive forward line, you really need someone like Sterling over KDB. You just need the extra money.
And if your Manchester City midfield problems weren't tough enough, yet another City midfielder gets on the score sheet this weekend, and now healthy Gundogan, which he's typically a deeper lying midfielder, priced accordingly at £5.4 million. But I mean, in this all out attack world, why not?
Yeah, I agree. Why not? It's probably worth a. I don't know. I mean, why not? Right? I mean,
okay. Here's what you do with Gundogan. Gundogan. Why do I want to? Gundogan, I think, I think Gundogan is like a planet in Star Wars or something like that.
Yeah, well, Gundogan is a movie. And because there's a Bob Dylan song about going to see a movie called Gundogan. But there's also Gundan, Gundan Warrior? Isn't it like an anime?
Okay, now we're really talking out of school. We're going to talk about anime. Just cut all this no idea.
Yeah, Gundan is like it's like a anime thing.
Sure, I believe you. So I would say maybe Gundogan for a double game week punt, but given the rotation, one might think that you wouldn't see a single Manchester City mid play two matches in a row in a double game week.
True.
Now Nolito, he's on a 3-match ban, so we don't really need to even talk about him.
Yep, and Troy Deeney, we talked about earlier, $6.9 million, so affordable, 3.7% selected, so definitely a differential, and has looked very good the last two matches.
He has. He continues to be a talisman for that team. He's on penalties, which penalties are basically a now normal occurrence in the Premier League.
It's a great penalty too. I know you're hoping for a late penalty save as a De Gea owner, but he really belted that one.
It was fun for a second when I thought and De Gea guessed the right way, but it was just too much up the middle. I mean, when will we get to a point where these goalkeepers just stand their ground? Every single PK appears to be going, unless your snot is God. Hashtag moment of magic. Unless your snot is God, shooting it to the upper 90. They're all just blasting it down the middle.
Yeah, I had a moment. I started Ben Foster this game week, and there was the second West Ham goal was a penalty, and I was just like, rubbing my fingers together, like maybe I can save this game week. Yeah. My defense has been utter crap. Oh my God, just all across the board. I mean, John Stones don't even get me started. He was like the first player to go when I wildcarded. Jeremiah Johnson says, triple up on Watford, Deeney, Agallo, Capoue, and a cheap defender.
That's insane.
Oh, I see. Deeney or Agallo. It's like Deeney, Agallo, Capoue.
I was going to say that. That is insane.
Yeah, Deeney, Agallo, Capoue, and a cheap defender. I guess so. Has the defense even kept a clean sheet yet this year?
I don't think they have. I mean, their defense is the sort of large and in charge type of defense. And with a class goalkeeper like Gomez back there, they'll probably get a few clean sheets.
Yeah.
I don't even think they're that cheap enough to warrant that. Are they?
No, I mean, they're 4.5, 4.4. I mean, they're...
Oh, okay. That's cheap enough.
I guess. Yeah, they're cheap enough. But yeah, I don't really see any. There's no the only player on that Watford team that really sticks out to me right now, outside of the obvious ones, is Perea, who we talked about on last week's podcast. I picked up another assist in game week 5. It looks really strong so far. He's got a goal and 2 assists in his first 3 games, and he's only $6 million. So
yeah,
okay, he's selected by less than 1%.
All right, those are this week's must have players. Now on, Josh, to this week's must have team. Lo Jun on Twitter, he asks, everybody focusing too much on getting Brock Toon back. Is Liverpool's run of fixtures getting overlooked?
Probably. Yeah, I think they probably are. We talked about them a little bit earlier on the podcast. Again, what makes them intriguing is that there are a lot of interesting price options here. Mane, so again, I'll say it again. Mane is not it's if you watch the matches, you're intrigued by Mane. If you just look at the total points scored, he's fourth on the team. He's not even the top points getters, but he is so involved and he's running so much. And I feel like he's kind of due to sort of emerge as the overall attacking threat on that team. I mean, I think that Firmino is really interesting too, and he probably offers a little more in terms of assist threat. But I just think that Mane is going to have like a big game sometime soon. And as you've listed here on the running notes, they've got a great run of fixtures coming up.
They do. They're at home to Hull in game week 6, then away to Swansea. Then they've got United, West Brom, Palace, Watford, Southampton, Sunderland, Bournemouth, West Ham, Middlesbrough. My God, goals galore.
So if you had to pick one midfielder from this team, who would you pick?
It is a tough one. I mean, there's something for me.
You can pick Lucas. It's okay.
I guess I like Firmino the best, but I'm saying that after he didn't play a single minute in this past game week. The rotation, as it was last season, is a killer with Klopp. Jordan Henderson is the one midfielder that I think has played every minute of every league game. But, I mean, he's not going to score a worldie every week, not even close.
Yeah. Coutinho, I think we both are a little too – like he's too streaky for our taste. To me, it comes down to Lallana or Mane. Firmino is an option as well, but I guess just me personally, I'm looking at Lallana or Mane. Mane, because I just think he's a slightly more explosive option, a possible captain option in certain game weeks.
Yeah.
And I think that Lallana is just a great option because it's 7 million. He looks like he's in the attack constantly. It looks like he's...
Yeah, he started every game, too, under Klopp.
Yep, started every game. He's picked up 2 goals and 1 assist already in the season. And, so I think that as a 7 million option, I think he's a great value. I just think he's not quite as explosive as the other two.
All right, so there are your Liverpool players that you might must have in your squad. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back. We have a few more questions, and we'll preview game week 6 for you.
All right, sounds good. Same old podcast, always cheating. All right, Brandon, we're back. We have 2 more questions to go, and then we're going to do a quick game rate preview and sign off. Brandon, I love Boomer says, with so many points scored in lopsided fixtures, are point hits okay to chase them?
No, I don't think they are. I mean, in a rare case, I think if your team is flawed going into the game week, perhaps, but I wouldn't do it just to chase. I mean, Nabubu, you used the key word here, chase. And I think if you find yourself in an FPL position where you're chasing something, you're usually on tilt, and it's more often than not going to go badly for you. Benteke for Palace, I think, was a perfect example of that this weekend. Even though you can predict that Palace was going to boss that game, Benteke, for whatever reason, didn't reap any benefit.
I think you're right. I mean, the only... You know, bringing in someone like Aguero for a point hit to me is not chasing points. That's, I think if the player, maybe it's like a good rule of thumb. If the player that you're
that betrays the question though, Josh. You're not bringing in Aguero for a particular fixture.
Yeah,
you're bringing Aguero in for your team.
Well, that is true, and it's a long term move. That is true. And I think Aguero you could wait and not take a point hit for if he wasn't playing away to Swansea, which is such a great fixture. I mean, Swansea defense, the second half of that Southampton game, I don't know how Southampton didn't score like 5 goals. I mean, it was like they tried really hard for 35 minutes and they were just totally wiped out. I mean, it's all like second and third choice guys, you know? So I think that in a case like that, if the player you're going to bring in is a player that you would consider captaining, it's usually worth the 4-point hit, especially if you're taking out I wouldn't take out anybody who has like a good home fixture, you know, for a 4-point hit. But I think, you know, if you consider captaining them, or if you just think they offer so much value long term that it's worth just getting them in now, you know, to get ahead of the point hits or, you know, the price hits, then I think that it makes sense.
All right, Dave Aston asks, question. He's posing us a question, Josh, to us, the Always Peters. Mahrez versus Payet. Don't bottle it. We want, nay, demand a decision. So we're really on notice here. We have to call this. Our reputation is on the line here.
All right, I'm going to answer Payet with the caveat that Mahrez looks a lot better now that I've seen how good Slimani looks as a Leicester player.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe it's a hedge, but
It is a little bit of a hedge. I was hoping you were going to be decisively one, and then just debate style, I could choose the other. Because I don't know if I'm totally convinced by... I mean, maybe I'll make the case for Mahrez, because Mahrez's goal-scoring ability might just edge Payet's free kick and assist delivery.
That's interesting. I mean, I was surprised that Payet, for example, didn't take the penalty. Wouldn't you have assumed that with Mark Noble off the pitch, Payet would take that penalty? I was really surprised by that. And Lanzini, I mean, of all players.
Did Payet take a single penalty last season? I don't know that he did.
Maybe not, but just in the, you know, the form he's in. I mean, he's the one who won the penalty. Your designated penalty taker isn't on the pitch. I don't know. That would have made sense to me if he'd taken the penalty.
I mean, Lanzini wears the number 10, Josh. You've got to respect number 10.
Does he's really too it's too bad Lanzini, not to get sidetracked here, but it's too bad that Lanzini's 6.4. he's great value at 5.5, but at 6.4 I think he's a little too pricey.
He had a nice little run last season where Lanzini was in a lot of people's double game week wildcard team, and
he was in mine.
He shit the bed
big time. All right, that's the questions for this game week. Game week 6 coming up. It's a big one, Brandon, and God knows if I'll be able to watch any of them.
We'll see. Yeah, maybe you'll have a little mini Joshua on your lap.
Yeah, I definitely want to get all my moves done early. I actually have a team in place right now that if I had to go right now, I'm okay with the team that's there.
Okay, good man.
I'm on the left. So and we talked about your moves a little bit too. Anything else you want to say about your transfers?
I mean, just that I think you'll know I'm trying to figure out how you'll know how confident I am. Will you know I'm confident if I burn 4 points, or will you know I'm confident in my squad if I just stick with my 2 free transfers?
Right.
I'm in that classic position of the temptation to spend 4 is massive.
That's fair. It's got to be tough with the $50 cup because...
Well, yeah, you're on your wild card.
Because I'm on wild card, so you're already kind of in some... It's always going to be tough to beat a player point wise when they're off the wild card.
Yeah,
it hurts that too.
What really irks me is you were on a -4 this week, and I really needed to capitalize knowing that you were going to hit your wild card in game week 6. I really needed to beat you in game week 5.
That's still a long season, though. You know, we're already talking like this. There's 32 weeks to go.
Doing a post-mortem on the season already. All right, clean sheet picks. Yeah, you go ahead.
Clean sheet picks this week. I actually had a hard time with my clean sheet picks this week. There are no fantastic options. I mean, Man U is always an okay option, but at home to Leicester, I could definitely see Leicester scoring a goal in that match. I went with Sunderland. I know that seems like a crazy pick given how bad their defense has looked, but I think Pickford has looked fantastic so far, and aren't they kind of due? I mean, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, they did only lose 1-0 away to, you know, at White Hart Lane. I mean, that is an improvement for that defense.
Yeah, I think Moyes changed up the lineup quite a bit going into this match, even dropping Patrick Van Aanholt for some mysterious reason. But maybe he's onto something. Maybe they got some momentum. So a decent pick. I'm going to go with Watford, even though they're away to Burnley, which appears to be a team really can't seem to get anything going. And I think Watford is probably flying high after 2 fantastic wins on the bounce.
Do you think that Andre Gray was affected by the social media scandal?
I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be.
Yeah.
That is some crazy stuff to happen to you in the most public space.
I mean, after what was probably the best match of his life, right? Of his entire life. I mean, maybe a match last year when they won the championship or something, but I don't know. It's like the biggest stage he's ever been on. I mean, he scores a goal and an assist at home to Liverpool, a Liverpool team that beat Arsenal the week before, right? I mean, everyone was starting to talk about Liverpool as a possible title contender, and then they go in, you shut them down, keep a clean sheet, and then as the match is finishing, this horrible scandal break. I mean, a self-created scandal. I don't have
any sympathy. Yeah. Gray does not get an out here. We're not giving him an out.
We're not giving him an out, but it's certainly something. It's certainly something.
It is something. Yeah, so I fear for Burnley. Wofford's my clean sheet pick. All right, Captain Picks. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going with Toon last name, first name Brock. Toon, comma, space, Brock.
You've heard of the Toon Army. We're the Brock Toon Army right here. Yeah, I'm also going Man City, but I'm going to throw KDB out there. I mean, so here we'll put our theory to the test that Aguero takes points off of KDB, but I think that guy is in sizzling form right now.
I like that option. I think that's that makes sense.
Okay, Josh, yet again, we've gone on long enough, but I feel sufficiently optimized for game week 6. I mean, game week 5, classic, a lot of questions asked, some answered, more questions risen. So here we are. I'm feeling somewhat ready for game week 6. So before we go, just a quick shout out. Our friend Justin's website, ephusmag.com, EEPHUSmag.com. He put up a great article by our friend Stephanie Anderson. I think it's going to be a reoccurring column there at EFIS Mag called Friday Night Plight. Now, Stephanie is in our private mini league, and she's kind of in the basement. She's having some bad luck this season. So every week she's going to talk through her decision making of what it's like to be in last place in your league. And if you don't have a lot of time during the week to, say, listen to podcasts or do a lot of reading about how to set your team, what's it like for the sort of non-serious players to set their team? So that should be fun. Look for that Friday Night Plight on ephusmag.com.
And Brandon, you can find us on a host of different places that you keep adding to this list. It's it's almost sprawling now. We're on iTunes. Please leave us a review. We're on SoundCloud. I notice our follows and likes and comments in SoundCloud have kept going up. I don't know if it's because more people are using SoundCloud or if we're just getting more popular. I assume it's the former, but it's nice to see that happen.
It is really cool. Just real quick about SoundCloud, SoundCloud allows you to comment at particular moments in the podcast. So if Josh says something really illuminating, you can compliment him. Or if I say something really dumb, like my campaign against the town of Middlesburger, you can also leave me a comment there, and we can respond to you. So SoundCloud is a really fun place to interact with the pod. Okay, I interrupted you. Where else can people listen?
That's okay. You can find us on Stitcher, Google Play, and we're also on Acast now and TuneIn. So eventually this is going to be like a 20-minute scroll. We just list every yeah, single place you can find us.
Yeah, exactly. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, where we're always tweeting midweek and during the games. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. And send us an email, hailcheaters@gmail.com. Lastly, don't forget to join the Hail Cheaters Super League. You can still get your team in there. We're over 1,000 managers right now. It's awesome. Good banter. That league code on our site, alwayscheating.com. And as we said, everywhere on social media, you can find that code.
That's right. All right, Brennan, that's it. Hail Cheaters.
Mobicani forever.
And have mercy.